Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 37 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, former Oakland Athletics catcher Bruce Maxwell. How are we today?
Hey, I'm good, man. I appreciate the invite, man. I look forward to the interview and getting to know you guys.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I love having MLB players on. Baseball is my favorite sport, die hard, and it's always great, getting to hear like all the different positions. I've worked with pitchers. I've worked with you're one of either my first or my second position player. My second, Curtis Granderson. But
Nice.
yeah, I mean, it's always my favorite thing talking to MLB players. I swear it's the best.
Oh yeah, man. We got stories and different outlook on a lot of things.
Oh yeah, totally. So how about we start off with, of course, your lifestyle growing up. So you were born in Germany while your father was stationed there with the army, I believe. Is that accurate? Cool. So how did growing up in a military family influence your approach to baseball and your approach to life?
Well, fortunately, I didn't have to spend too much time over in Germany. I was still very, very, very young when we came back because my dad was on active duty. But I would say a lot of the raisings and a lot of the lessons from a military person, my father, my uncles, my grandfather, my aunt, I feel like those lessons kind of prepared me for baseball down the road because it's difficult. Like it's you have to be obedient. You have to do things you don't want to do. You have to, it's you have to take away like the selfish nature of everything and do something for the greater good of something other than yourself. And so learning little things like that throughout my childhood really helped me when things got tough and when I got older and I was struggling, it really helped me stay with it. I was one of those kids that I loved the hard days. Like I liked the gym. I loved the long practices. I
Oh,
loved
yeah.
the
Oh, yeah.
the hard things that most people resent or they don't enjoy. But one of the things my father always taught me is, if you're so worried about being caught up in the wins and the losses, you'll forget to enjoy the process throughout the time period, right? In baseball, and you've watched and you love the sport. It's the only sport I feel like that you can prepare perfectly every day and you have zero ability to control the outcome.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
It's a very, very humbling game. And I think the hard-nosed raising my father gave me kind of prepared me for those dog days when I went through the co went through college, went through the minor leagues, and eventually got to the big leagues, man.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I gotten like, the gym and like the real, the grinding earlier. I mean, I didn't start, heading to the workout place until probably like mid seven. It's not, I don't even know if it's been a year at this point. I think it was like April or May of last year, which is kind of crazy. But so you were like always into, the just grinding it out and just, enjoying the time there.
Yeah, man, it was, me and my sister both were athletes. My sister played Division One basketball, and
Sweet.
so we were as kids, man, we were training. Like it was, I had a cage in my backyard. My sister had a half court, a basketball court in the backyard. So I was like, we got home from school, we got done with homework. I was out hitting, and she was out there shooting free throws. She was, and we did it together as well. Because I also played basketball as a kid, with her, give her somebody to play with. But it was constant. It was,
Oh yeah.
that work. Like my dad never allowed me to feel like I was good. Like I had arrived, right?
Always improvement. There's always room for improvement.
Exactly. Now he was a little rough about it, but at the same time, I mean, it got me where I am today.
Yeah,
So.
you think it was really helpful to the way that you're able to, continue your career and keep ramping it up?
100%, like 100%, because I always tell people when you get to the big leagues, you'll realize how mentally strong like big leaguers are, like how they handle adversity, how they handle failure, and the reason why they're there is because they continuously make adjustments and they deal with the failure better than others. Because it's, I mean, our game, essentially, our game is being the most consistent loser, like the best loser,
Yeah,
like
exactly.
from a statistical standpoint,
Exactly.
right?
You lose more than you
So.
win.
Yeah, so it helped me deal with those things in minor leagues. It helped me deal with the rough road trips. It helped me deal with The long days, the long nights, and just the long seasons, man. Like minor leagues is where you really find out if this is something you want to do or not, because there's nothing rewarding about any of your minor league experience until
Yeah,
you get to the big
exactly.
leagues.
It's just all a way to, get to the big leagues, but everyone says the minors is just kind of like the rite of passage,
Pretty much, yeah. You can survive that. You can survive anything.
That's why I admire Mike Trout, 'cause like he's, of course, one of the most talented ball players to ever, grace the field, but he's fought through so many injuries and he just keeps coming back like arguably better than he was before. It's like that's what I love about him is that he just constantly keeps coming back and keeps going back to his former self.
Yeah. Oh no, he's a great dude, man, and playing against him for years. The dude just he's got unwavered focus and dedication. He's also just one of the nicest guys ever. Like nobody works harder than him. Nobody's more positive than him. And just seeing him every day, just strap it on no matter what. And he's the one of the best to do it. Like it's been a honor watching that guy play across the field and on TV.
Oh yeah, 100%. Speaking of Mike Trout, you put up Mike Trout numbers in college, even better. You played at Birmingham Southern and you hit 471 with 15 homers in your junior year. Are you kidding me? That's crazy,
Yeah,
man.
college was a fun time, man. College was a fun time.
What was it about that season that let you hit almost, 500 with 15 homers? Like, that's ridiculous.
I mean, it was a combination of a lot of things, man. Like my 3 years at Birmingham Southern, they were great. I hit 440, I think, my freshman year. I had a down year my junior year or my sophomore year. I think I hit like 395 or something.
Down
And
your 395.
we were really good as a team though, man. My coaches introduced, helped me learn how to properly, work out, time manage, sacrifice. They're good. And from the time I in 2009, 2009, yeah, by the time I arrived to last year when our school shut down, like we were top 15 in the nation every year in Division Three. And our coaches were, our head coach was the same. And just the amount of coaching that went through there and the talent that came through there, it was a blessing to be a part of, man. And junior year, going into my junior year, I played in a collegiate summer league. I think it was the Midwest League or something. And I think I was the only Division III player in that league. And I hit really well in that summer, faced some good velocity, and I played first base mostly. And when I came back to school, I was like, oh, I could do this. Like this will be a fun year. I was an upperclassman. I was a leader on the team, and it just kind of helped me relax a little bit and play for my guys. And my first 2 years, we were on finishing up our divisional probation, so we couldn't go to the playoffs my freshman sophomore year, and because we went from D1 to D3.
Oh.
And so instead of revoking scholarships, what they do is they put you on an athletic probation for 4 years to get all your Division I athletes out without,
Whoa.
because it would technically be assumed that you're cheating by playing
Yeah.
real D3 guys, And so we went 34-5 and then 30-10, I think, my freshman sophomore year. And so junior year, I was really excited about the opportunity to lead a team to the playoffs, to a World Series. And we fell short, but the extra hitting, the extra weight room time, the just being able to focus on my team allowed my personal numbers to be a lot better.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and as you said, you played D3 ball and you still got taken in the second round, which is an accomplishment in itself. You don't see that all too often. It's always, either high school guys or D1 guys at the top of those rounds. But I mean, second round is D3 is huge. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was a crazy time, man. And then, they converted me into a catcher. So I was
So
a
you
mother.
played first base in high school and then early college, and they flipped you in the minors in Oakland, or was that college?
So my junior year of college, there was a lot of scouts reaching out to my coach. Excuse me, reaching out to my coach about the idea of catching. And so for the most part, they threw me behind the plate my junior year of college. I never caught before. Both of my coaches were actually catchers in college, and I was predominantly a pick and throw kind of guy. My blocking was terrible. And just because I never knew how to do it, I always played infield. And by the time about mid-season rolled around, I got pretty good behind the plate. I was raw still, completely raw, but I blocked well. And they needed a leader behind the plate,
Yeah.
and that's what I ended up getting drafted as and became a full-time catcher.
Was that scary at all? Like the immediate transition to behind the plate, seeing these pitches come at you right at your face super fast?
I wasn't intimidated or anything. I've been a pretty big hard-nosed guy, even on the infield.
Evidently.
But it was just a different vantage point, being behind the plate instead of the ball coming. There's a lot of things to learn about it differently, especially when I got into pro ball and the velocity of the game and the speed of the game got quicker. It took me a while, man. It took me about 2 years to get somewhat comfortable behind the plate. I kept hitting it all right in the minor leagues, but I got drafted in 12 and 16, the start of the spring of 16 is when I really got comfortable behind the dish. And then, that was the year I made it to the big leagues and, here, and then that, it's a story.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, so that's fun. Like, because a lot of guys you see, them go from catcher to first base once their, knees start to, give in. So seeing it go from first base to catcher is kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, it's usually the other way around. And so I was still able to maintain a pretty good average at the plate hitting wise. But one of the biggest thing the A's liked about me in college was, even in the shortened amount of games played, 'cause obviously we played less games in Division I. I, for the most part, I had less strikeouts, than I had homers. Like I had more homers than strikeouts. My
Wow.
on base percentage was pretty through the roof. My walk total was very high in college. So there wasn't a whole lot of chasing outside of the zone in 3 years of school, and that was and I'm left-handed, so
Yeah, that's always helpful.
it showed great leverage and just it was a great tool to have. And then also that year that they drafted me, the pick before me was Matt Olson,
Oof.
so we already had our franchise first baseman. I think a year or two later we got Chapman. So that's your other corner infielder, right? And so it was a smart play, like transitioning me. I'm a little shorter, I'm a little smaller than Ole. I'm more of like a average. I'm going to give you some homers every year, but I'm not going to be your 40 and 100 guy. And so it just worked out, man. It really did. And I love catching now. I teach it. I advise on it. And 13 years later, I have a pretty fruitful career.
I love that. I love that. 'Cause I feel like, with all this these rumors of and more than likely going to happen of these robot umps, it's going to take a lot away from the catchers, 'cause framing is going to become like a lost art. So it's like you got to appreciate it while it's still here.
100%. Yeah, like it's if they turn into robot umpires, this game is going to go downhill quick.
Really? Really? You're like 100% against it. You're like that's
I think so. Well, I don't mind the challenge system that we have.
I love the challenge. I think it's great.
I don't mind that because that's going to come into play, because you only get a few, right? So that's going to come into play when crunch time is in your games, right?
Yeah.
So it'll eliminate some of the really bad calls that do change outcomes of games. It'll make it a little more even when it comes to pitching and hitting, right? So I like the way they design it, where you only get, a handful of them a game or whatever. It's kind of like your mound visits, right?
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
I don't think they should give like, hey, every batter has one opportunity. I don't think they should do that, but I do think from a strategic standpoint, if they've, hey, you guys got four challenges, for the whole game, make them count. And so I think I like that idea, but taking away the physical human umpire behind the
It's
plate,
really not a good idea.
I feel like it'll just make the game more robotic, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
But the beautiful part about baseball, it's a human element, right? Like talking about the best players in the world, and we all make mistakes. And you got to learn how to deal with it. The game itself is like that, right? So if you take that away, if you take that human element away from everything, you're going to have different, the game itself is just going to be completely different, dude. And I don't think it's going to
Yeah,
be
totally.
different. I don't think it's going to be different in a good way either.
There's always going to be errors. There's always going to be hanging curveballs. There's always going to be, missed calls. That's just how it goes. But I really do like the challenge system. I think it's very efficient because not only, does it give a chance to overturn those calls that might influence a game, it also shows talent on the hitter's behalf to have the eye to really determine this pitch was not a strike. I'm going to challenge it.
And that's why I think, because hitting's hard, bro. But now with the new catching system and the way we receive behind the plate now, it's designed to trick the umpires, and it's doing a really good job. But as you see on ESPN, man, in the last year or two, there have been some really bad calls and some really big situations
Yeah.
are unacceptable, and it goes with the new way of catching. It's kind of the catcher's fault, this and the other, because back in 16, the umpires were bad, but you only had like one or two of them. It wasn't like everybody missing calls and missing, 4, 5, 6 inches below the zone, above the zone, in and out. It wasn't none of that, dude. It was like, you might miss a couple here and there, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
Now it's terrible.
That's why it stinks that Pat Hoberg did the whole gambling thing, 'cause he called the perfect game in the World Series, and it's
Oh
like, and he was caught up in some kind of thing, and that was that, and it's like, wow, one of the most accurate umpires we've seen in the last 2 decades gets booted for still violating rules somehow.
Right. Yeah, that's nuts, dude.
Oh my goodness. All right, anyway, back let's get back over to your career. So heading into pro ball, getting drafted in the second round to Oakland, what kind of expectations did you set for yourself? Like in terms of how you played, where you wanted to end up?
I mean, obviously the goal is to get to the big leagues, but I knew it would take time. I didn't know it would be as difficult. I didn't think, hindsight's 2020. I knew it would be difficult, the full transition into being a full-time catcher. I didn't understand how difficult it would be. And I tell you, first 2 years, I almost quit 30 different times.
Ooh.
It was just so frustrating because the speed of the game, I was seeing the game in a different lens, from behind the plate, from pop-ups to framework to positioning to understanding how to properly catch, dude. It was difficult, very, very, very difficult. And multiple times I was like, you know what, dude, I'm just gonna go back to the infield. Like, screw this. But at the end of the day, it was my best chance of getting to the big leagues. And I started as the work continued, I started falling in love with it. Like, I was like, oh, this is art. This is art in process, right? And so once I figured it out, it was like, there's not a position on the field I'd rather play. Being able to be, that final line of defense, on the field, the call in the games, the strategy behind it, the leniency we have back there, and the trust that we get, we have to earn that, right? So going through the levels and learning the game from a di in a different way, it changed my whole perspective on how baseball gets played. And so, and even to this day, man, I teach a certain way, the very way I was taught to catch. Excuse me. I teach it the very same way. I'm a very simple visual person. And even to this day, like when I work up at the college I help out here in my hometown, there's days where I put my gear on and I go catch bullpens and I show them how to do it. I still do it for fun. I still love to be around it. Just now it's just in a different lens.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when you're teaching that catching, does it, really feel good to be able to help these kids like learn how to do that art form that is slowly being, pushed out of baseball compared to, just swing and hit ball far,
Yeah, no, I dude, I love it, dude, because hitting is, I mean, not hitting, catching is, it's very detailed. It's very small. So it's very hard to explain somebody how to do something that you've never put the gear on and done it yourself. And so it's a specialty. And so I enjoy when my kids, at these colleges or these high schools hit me up for my personal opinions and my leadership or guidance, because I mean, I played the game at the highest level, and I've been around for a
Exactly.
while, And so for them to be able to look at me like I'm like a teacher now, and respect and hear what I say, it's awesome, because at one point in time I was in their shoes, and my catching coach was the one that enlightened me on all these things, that taught me all these things. I still talk to him every now and again to help me, with my kids, and be like, hey, listen, I told him this, that, and the other. Is this what you would say, or how would you say it differently, or this, that, and the other? I still reach out to all my former coaches for help, in because you don't know everything, but I have a pretty good team around me of former big leaguers or big league coaches that do help me when I need it.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I have a question about just as a catcher. Like I played catcher for one game in Little League, and that was that. So I'm kind of curious about this. So when it comes to, so you see all the time, pitching batteries and all that, like Wainwright and Yadi, like a classic battery right there. How much of managing a pitcher is just chemistry versus pure preparation for the game ahead?
Oh, it's when you get to that level, it's majority of it's chemistry. Like, because we have to be hitting coaches, catchers, and managers all at the same time. Like we have to know the tendencies of our pitcher. We have to know how they think about things when they struggle, how they think about things when they're going good. We have to manage their emotions. We have to help them through their time on the mound without our coach having to come out. And it's a lot of it has to do with chemistry.
Yeah, totally.
Because you have to know the guy on the mound, because if you guys don't have a relationship, he's not going to be able to trust you, and you're not going to trust him. Therefore, that's going to cause turmoil in our game calling, in our execution, in our focus, in our
Yeah.
confidence. You get what I'm saying? And
Yeah,
so
totally.
chemistry is a big, big thing, especially when you're at that level. Like, chemistry is everything.
Yeah. I feel like it'd be easier then for a catcher to work with a new pitcher than a pitcher to work with a new catcher, right? Like, logically,
Very,
that makes sense.
very, very much so, because we all have tendencies, right? So we all think about things slightly different. We all have our go-to situational awareness, and some people get used to one guy, and then you completely switch, and you have no idea if this guy's going to be on the same exact page or something you're used to doing. You know what I'm saying? So it is very hard for pitchers to have new catchers rather than the other side of it, because we go through four or five pitchers a game.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's normal for us. For pitchers, it's not.
Yeah, gotcha. That's what I thought. I just wanted to, make sure, wanted to hear it from someone who you actually been in
Yeah.
those shoes. Cool. And earlier you brought up, Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, just two of those guys on that 2017 A's team. Those teams were so fun to watch, by the way. I just have to say. But you played along so many great players. I mean, Yonder Alonso, Jed Lowrie, the Matty Twins. You got Simeon, Rajay Davis.
Okay.
Mark Canha, you can keep going and keep going, keep going. What was the clubhouse like with all those guys who are seen as, baseball legends by their own standards?
Oh, it was fun. It was very fun. Like, we were all young at the time too. I had my rookie year, Yonder was my locker mate, which was awesome.
Oh boy.
He taught me how to be a professional. He taught me some things that, you can't really find everywhere. I got to play with Coco Crisp, Jed Lowrie, down to business. And his preparation was second to none. Simeon, those guys, like, it was all fun times. I mean, with Matt, with both Matts, with Canna and stuff, like, it was a good time because we were all relatively around the same age, and
Yeah.
so we all made our, like, me, Matt, the both the Matts, a lot of guys, we all made our debut. Chad Pender, we
Oh
all kind of made
yeah.
our debuts
Oh yeah.
around the same time, so we were all rookies at the same time, and so it was fun, man. We got to learn from each other. I think I was the oldest of that group, because I was a college kid. It was a fun time, dude. Ryan Healy was in there as well.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
So it was a really,
I think
really
Boo Powell was there too, if I
correct. Yeah.
remember
So
right.
it was a really good time, man, just to kind of feed off of each other and see a bunch of young guys that you've come up through the system with, have success at the highest level, and now, you turn on the TV and they continue to have success. It's fun to watch.
That's sick. I love that. And I have one more question about a specific teammate that I didn't bring up earlier. So, of course, you caught one of your relievers goes by the name of Liam Hendricks. Is he as ridiculous in person as he seems on television? I need to know, because you see him on the mound and he's like cursing up a storm while throwing.
Not really. He's more calm, like off the mound, but he's always got a crazy sense of humor. Like he doesn't take anything too serious unless he's on the mound, and he's intense, bro. Like and he's awesome. He means it in a good way. He doesn't back down from anything. And I think he's a great teammate. Like I love Liam. Like he was awesome. In the clubhouse, on the field. I loved his intensity on the field because I was also the same way. I just did it in like more of a quiet manner, like in a focused manner. And but I also don't have, as catchers, we don't have too much ability to outwardly like show our emotions, but dude, he's awesome. And he on the mound, I'm telling you, on the mound, he is a psychopath, but I love it. Every second of it.
Yeah, when he's lit up, you'll see
Oh
it.
yeah.
Like you'll know it's happening. I forget,
100%.
what was it, the All-Star game where they mic'd him up and he forgot and he just started like just spitting everywhere?
I think so, yeah. Like, but that's who he is, man, and he doesn't mean
Remember
anything
watching that
by
and I
it.
was like, "Oh my God."
Yeah, he doesn't mean anything by it, but he takes his job serious. He takes it personal. He wants to be the best, and he's also a great teammate.
I mean, a three-time All-Star. Clearly, it's working, right?
Correct.
Totally. I have another question. And regarding those pitchers that you did work with, were there any guys that stood out for either like their stuff or their mindset on the mound or anything like that?
Well, Liam, Blake Treinen was another one.
Oh,
When
yeah. He was definitely there.
he came over from the Nationals, I think, just outrageous, dude. Just 100 mile an hour power sinkers,
He's filthy. He is disgusting.
96 mile an hour cutters. I mean, and he's great to work with. Super positive guy. He works hard as hell, and he's dirty. Like he's
Oh,
dirty.
yeah.
He was fun to catch. On that A's team, because when he was on, he couldn't be touched. Like it was incredible. It was like voodoo up there. Castillo, one of our guys up there, Dominican, or what is Castillo? Cuban? Dominican? One of those two. He was awesome. That dude was nuts on the mound too. But he pitched for the Giants for a long time and came over to us. He was a great teammate. I loved working with him. And I had a bunch of guys that I worked with on the mound, dude, that I loved every second of working with them.
Yeah, I think he's Dominican.
I'm pretty sure he's Dominican, yeah.
I think, yeah, that would be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, man, that's I totally like I knew Trinan was on those teams. His name's like didn't come to my head for whatever reason. I can name
Yeah.
you the rest of that staff. We got Manet, you got Graveman, you got Sonny Gray.
It's Manaea.
I've said Manet my whole life.
Anaya.
Manaea, is it?
Yeah.
Wow, there you go. You got Cotton on that team, I think.
Terrell.
Was he? He was there, I think. Jesse Hahn, I think, was there. Whole lot of guys. Like
Sonny Gray was
was
there.
Frankie Montas there yet, or
Yep.
was he later?
Yep.
Totally. I mean, I can just keep going. I
Most of the
love.
guys that you just named, we were all together between AA, AAA, and then the big leagues.
Yeah. The
Yeah.
fact that that team, I think somehow you didn't but yeah, I think you didn't have a winning record somehow with all these guys. It's
Yeah,
like
dude. Well, because a lot of the times
because the
those
AL
numbers,
West is just loaded.
well, that and but at that and the situation though too is when most of us got to the big leagues, we were all rookies.
Oh, yeah,
Like
that's. I didn't factor that in. Yeah, totally.
we were all rookies. So what you see today was when all that started. You know what I'm saying? Like
Yeah.
we still had things to work on. We still had to learn the game differently. But then when you're going up against that division though too. Where you have your seasoned Angels, you have your seasoned Mariners, when you have Cruz and Cano hitting back to back on the top of the order,
Yeah, exactly.
when I mean it was tough, dude. It was really tough. You got the Astros in there, like with their team, where they were just
World Series. I
electric.
mean, clearly.
Yeah, but with all those guys and stuff, dude, it was hard to compete because all of our main guys, we were all young.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, Olsen and Chapman didn't even get called up until around the break, if I remember properly, like either just
Yeah,
before it or just after it.
we all, let's see, it was in 16. I got called up right after the break. It was July 22nd when I got called up,
So you're probably
and
right around the same time as those guys.
they came up,
Like
I
late
think
June?
they came up a little late. They came up about a month after me, I think, maybe.
After you?
Maybe, yeah, because I was the first one of that AAA team
Really?
that got called up that year.
Oh,
I was the first
interesting.
one, and then they came up a little closer to, yeah, they came up like a month or so after me.
Gotcha.
Maybe a
Interesting.
little, maybe a little sooner, but I think I was the first one out of that group to go up though, because we were having issues. I was hitting 330 in AAA, but we were also having issues behind the plate up top due to health reasons.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I got one final question for you. All right. And this is like a super general question. And the question's gonna be like, if you had to pick one moment from your career, what would your favorite be? One play. One team, one anything. I can tell you mine if you want to, yeah, if you want to hear mine.
Of me?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and I'll give you
Your
mine.
homer off Gallardo.
And you talking about Seattle?
Yeah, I love Gallardo.
The one in right
I
center, the
love
one in right
Gallardo.
center. Yeah.
It was so funny because it's like, he's one of those guys that never gets appreciated. He won a Silver Slugger. I mean, like
Yeah.
he was a great ball player. And even homering
My
off him is a pretty cool flex.
mine would probably be, because I didn't have too many like moments like that. I think mine would be my rookie year lining going to St. Louis and lining up against Yadi for the first time.
Oh man, I didn't even think about that. That's crazy.
That was pretty special for me because of our generation. Like, that's the GOAT behind the plate. And so my rookie year, I think I was like a month in maybe. We go to St. Louis to play him, and I'm lining up against Yachty. It was exciting to watch, or exciting to be a part of, just because we're in St. Louis. It's a weekend, so it's a packed out place. Going up against our GOAT of our time from catching, right? And being able to beat him. I think we he was he, I think I had two hits that game. He had none, and then we ended up beating them as well.
Wow.
And the next day I got to the field and I had a signed baseball and a signed Yadi bat in my locker. And he wrote on my bat, he's like, "Welcome to the big leagues. I look forward to," it said something like, "Welcome to the big leagues. I look forward to watching you play more." And
You better still have that. You better still
100%,
have that.
100%. And so it was a good, cool, very, very cool moment for me because that it was just like I got to go against our
Oh
legend,
yeah, totally.
catcher in his house too, which made it even better.
Did you actually
And
get to chat
so,
with him like as like a conversation and stuff, or
no,
was it?
I didn't get to like have
Gotcha.
combo with him,
Yeah.
but
Because the
yeah,
game's
dude,
the game, like at the end of
yeah,
the day.
it was pretty fun time, dude. I met a lot of great people. I got to play against a lot of great people, and I'm still in touch with a handful of guys, checking in with them. And even some of our retired older guys who kind of took me under their wing when I was a youngster. So I still communicate with quite a few dudes and just checking in on life, and they check in on me. And so met some great people and still have some great relationships.
That's sick. I love that. I love that answer because Yachty, such a classic guy. Like when you think of those dominant Cardinals teams, you think of Yachty, you think of Pujols, you think of Waino, David Freeze, all those guys, right?
100%, yeah.
All righty, that's gonna do it here for episode 37 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Thank you so much, Bruce, for hopping on the show. I really appreciate it.
100%, man. I appreciate the invitation.
Totally. And with that, that will do it. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and have a great rest of your day.